Welcome back, everyone. This is J.R. Flatter, and this is the Secrets of Leadership Coaching. Our distinguished guest for this episode is Ms. Barbara Gustafson. And Barbara, I'll let you introduce yourself. You'll do a much better job than I ever could.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. And I've been a coach for about 8.5 years now. It's hard to believe the time has definitely flown. Well, I should say some of it's flown, some of it's been a little slow, like last year. It felt like a snail pace.
Yeah.
But when I started the leadership journey, I really didn't know what to expect. I had not planned into going into it. I was a government contract, did the crazy commute like a lot of people do into DC. But I was at a time in my life where I was looking for something different. And I thought, why not? I'll just look at the skills that I have had and see if I can put them to use in a different way. And so when I started, it was exciting, but different. It was one of those, like you've seen those visuals, like what you think success is and then what success really is. And so it's like a lot of swirlies in the middle, but it's been a fun journey. And what I found is, for me, because it's not a straight line, I don't look at leadership the same way. Like for leadership, often we look at it as positional, you know, what position you're in, what strategy you're using. That's important, but I look at leadership holistically, just because we're involved in everything we do, you know, and the human aspects, we bring that into our leadership and business. So that was something I had to discover for myself, what my leadership journey looked like. And the way I see it was I had to learn how to lead myself. And I saw myself really starting at ground zero. I had a lot to learn about people, communication, leadership development. There was things that I was trained to do. But as you know, JR, you can learn something, but there's a vast difference between knowing and truly understanding and then embodying something. So I had to really, at times, allow myself to mess up, which is a lot. But that's how I started to learn about my leadership style, because mine is very different than your leadership style probably is. And as a classic introvert, I had to understand that I needed to be my authentic self, that I didn't have to pretend or try to be this charismatic person, but my charisma was my passion. And until I learned that, I found it difficult to find my style. And I found myself trying to do everything like everyone else was doing and trying to be like everyone else. But I realized that can only work for so long.
Mm-hmm. So what did that process look like? We talk about courage when we talk about leadership. So obviously you had the courage to step out of a paid job and step into entrepreneurship. Talk to us about that transformation you went through.
Oh, yeah. So that did take courage, because I'm a classic type A planner. I love to see down the road, have that plan down. So this was a huge step of courage for me. I call it boldness. That's a big part of my business. And when I look at courage and boldness, what I realize, it could be the external steps that I'm taking. It could be these big leaps. But for me, it was the internal transformation that needed to take place to really align, because we have this strategy track, but we also have a soul track, you know, our human track. And I needed to make sure that was aligned. So for me, and I go back to a story. When I was in my teens, I was in a riding accident and I broke my back. Mm. What they didn't know was I had a mild head injury in the back of my neck, and it created this misalignment for many years. Like for years, I had this horrible ringing in my ears. I lost focus. I had to drop out of college. And there was just different areas in my life that were a struggle. And until they got me physically aligned, I wasn't able to work in these other areas of my life. And so I look at that as an internal alignment piece for me. There are times where we're misaligned and we may not even know it, mm-hmm. but it affects every area of our life. And I look when it comes to the process that I went through and that I take my clients through, alignment is the very first piece because it's the lead domino. Like once that gets going, other areas are going to fall into place too. So alignment, if I look, that can be different things for different people. And for me, alignment is vision. You know, what's my internal vision, my inner eyes that I see, not just for my business, but also for my life. Energy, that's a huge one, just because leaders and business owners and coaches, energy management is key, because if we're not managing our energy, it's leaking all over the place. And we see that often in our ideas. We have so many ideas going, but if we don't know how to manage that for ourselves, it can leave us pretty scattered. And also purpose. That's an alignment piece for me right there, just because if we're not doing something that gives us meaning, that's going to rob us of our energy. And also this concept of centeredness. There was a study done for leaders, and there was 33 attributes that they had to pick that they liked, where they felt that had the most impact on their leadership. And when I was looking through this, I thought it would be like strategy or vision or something, but it wasn't. It was centeredness, just because centeredness, when you have that, it opens up to all the other skills that you have, like decision-making. When you're able to make a decision from a place of presence and centeredness versus a decision out of fear, it could be a very different decision you make, and it could cause you to communicate it differently to the people that you lead. Mm-hmm.
So what are the skills that I need if I am going to become a coach? And how do I get those skills?
Wow. That's a good question. The first thing that comes to my mind is curiosity.
Mm.
If we're not curious, we're going to look for shortcut answers. We might get the answers that we need at the time, but it's going to limit us and the quality of our answers. So coming with a place of curiosity, even a question, you know, even if you don't understand something, what if I knew, you know, I don't fully understand, but what if I knew a little bit more? How would my life be different? So for me, questions is critical. Like I coach myself a lot. Sometimes I have these verbal conversations. And what I realized is even if I don't come up with the answer, eventually it'll unlock. And it might be driving down the road and all of a sudden it drops in my lap. Or it could be when I'm taking a walk, which is where I get my best ideas, usually in my kayak. So curiosity to me is a skill that I needed to develop, because beforehand I was leaning on other people too much. I wanted to get the answer just because it's easier. People want short answers because it takes less energy. Mm-hmm. And when we ask questions, it does require us digging, and sometimes it can be frustrating if we don't get it right away. But what I found is it taps into an inner resource that we didn't know we had. And I look at it as these hidden parts of us that are waiting to get out. And for me, that's tied to my boldness. Like when I can tap in to these parts that are waiting to get out, it's those parts that will make the greatest impact. It's more than what we see on the surface.
Thank you for that. So I hear a lot about different niches within the coaching world: life coach, leadership coach, executive coach, business coach. Do I need a niche? And do you have one?
This is a fun question, because there's a lot of people who say different things. And I look at my journey as a coach to try to find my niche. It is helpful to narrow down, because the more narrow and specific you are, it will reach the people that are needing that specific thing. I see myself, I don't know if you've heard this term, a multi-passionista. I have that. Several niches, but what, okay, so I'll share with you my niches or the people that I reach out to. Key decision makers, leaders, healthcare workers, and women. And it doesn't mean that I just serve only one of those, but they all interconnect. And the way they interconnect is they want to get their bold ideas out there. They also are passionate about a social cause. There is some social cause in their community within their team that they're passionate about. And it goes a level deeper than just, I want to grow my business, just to check off the box. These are people who want to create a ripple effect, who love to collaborate. That's another connection. They absolutely love taking their ideas and making them better. They're not afraid to be wrong. They are willing to get uncomfortable. They're highly motivated, high achievers, but they also are highly stressed. They tend to overwork because they love what they do so much. So that's a lot. I would probably, if I were to sit down with a marketing person, he'd probably say, no, that's not the way to do that. But that's how I have evolved. And that is how I've been growing my community.
Very nice. So for someone thinking about becoming a coach, or even adding coaching skills to their leadership, what advice or what information sources might you offer?
So my first piece of advice is to honor where you are, just because coaching is a skill that you build. And what I see out there, and honestly, it's a little disheartening. I see coaches shaming other coaches for not doing a certain or being a certain way. And I know for me, I had to really grow into it and learn the skill, and honor myself, being very gentle with myself, but also seeing that your client, you know, seeing them as they know themselves too. You know, they honor where they are. And one of the things that I for myself struggled with and occasionally still do is projecting my ideas and advice on someone. So always asking their permission, you know, and letting them know, hey, if I ever cross the line when I'm coaching you, if I ever share something that you feel is encroaching on your gut feeling, you need to call me out. And just so having that dynamic relationship and transparency that, yes, I'm guiding you, I'm helping you discover your blind spots, but you're the expert of you, and only you can decide what's best for you.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much. So this is called The Secrets of Coaching. So in order to be a distinguished guest, you have to give up one of your secrets.
Okay. So this is probably going to be disappointing because it's not earth-shattering, but I will tell you, as someone who often gets in my head so much, it's something that I do behind closed doors, and often it's hard to share. Like, it's easy to share our successes, but sometimes it's harder to share our failures, when we mess up, fall flat on our face. But one thing that I do that really gets me out of my head is I write. I journal in it. And like I said, it wasn't earth shattering. I have specific ways I do this. And you may have heard that phrase, you know, get the elephant out of the room. You know, when you're with the team, we need to address the elephant, and then you can clear the air and deal with it. So I need to get the elephant out of my head, between my two ears. And sometimes I'll just be hitting this wall of a resistance in my head, and I don't know why until I get the monkey chatter out on paper. And then what I can do is look at my thoughts. And typically what happens is I'll see patterns of negativity, or my brain might be stuck on a thought, and then I'll know that's the one thing I need to deal with. And so I start working through that. It could be, you know, a negative belief, a limiting belief, but I'll create a turnaround statement for that, or I'll develop, you know, okay, it might be something I'm worried about that I need to research or just have a plan B for. So until I actually know what my brain is locked on and circling around and address it, I'll just keep hitting this wall. So I would say that would be my secret. It's something that I do a lot that has saved me a lot of time and heartache. And it takes me a long time to learn a lesson. So sometimes I'm back, you know, to square one, but yes.
Well, I love that. I love journaling. It's a big part of our methodologies too. But you just taught me something, and that is, as I journal, look at and see what the patterns might be and connect those. So thanks for that. So finally, the way we find our distinguished guests, such as yourself, is they are referred to us by other distinguished guests. So if you might offer us a couple of names of people we might invite for future sessions.
Absolutely. I know it's hard to limit just a few. I'm connected to so amazing coaches globally. A few that come to my mind, and he is in Arkansas, Michael Harbor of Harbor Resources, just a fantastic coach and leader, mainly in the healthcare industry. So he would definitely be high on my list. Mm-hmm. And then Trudy Menke, she's located in Indiana, and her business is Reframing Leadership. So she has an excellent methodology she takes companies through. And the last one is local here in Fredericksburg, Johnny Lloyd, with Johnny Lloyd and Associates. She's a dynamite person. I know you'll love all of those.
Wow, three new names. Thank you.
You bet.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. I know your time is valuable, and you've shared some invaluable insights with our listeners and viewers. So thanks a lot for being here.
Well, thank you for letting me be part of the discussion. It was fun.
Yep. And we'll see you soon.
Take care.
Thanks, Barbara.